You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton, back at it for another day. Just going to follow up on yesterday, go over some mid-season reports, mid-season review, whatever you want to call it. Probably more like two-thirds of the way through the season review, because there is only 25 games left in this Kings season, in the NBA season, really. I know they moved the All-Star game up this year. It still feels late, though, as far as the games are concerned, as far as the schedule is concerned, because it's 25 games left, man. That's not a lot. That's very few, definitely more than halfway. But we're going to continue on what we did yesterday when we broke down the performance of four of the young players. We're going to do some of the vets today. And then finally, yes, finally, we'll get some Kings basketball tomorrow when they take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. I know it's only been a week, man, but I'm impatient. I want my hoops back. Especially, you know, after the All-Star game festivities that I thought were kind of underwhelming personally. Maybe you guys felt differently, but I definitely wasn't all in on the All-Star festivities. The game, the three-point contest, the dunk contest, it was all kind of lackluster, if you ask me. I mean, I know the All-Star game had a good ending, but it wasn't, I don't know, I didn't love it. It wasn't great. if you feel differently, that's fine. Good on you. But I'm ready for the real hoops to come back. But so yesterday, we went over the performances in the All-Star festivities of De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Bogdan Bogdanovic. And then we also went through their regular season performance of those three and Willie Cauley-Stein. Today we're going to do some of the vets, and then tomorrow we'll finish off the rest of the roster. A lot of young guys still left, and then we'll do a little preview of the Sacramento Kings OKC game. But that is tomorrow, so today it's all about the vets. Let's get into it. And we're going to start with the big man, Z-Bo, Zach Randolph. He's been probably their best player, you could say. I mean, if you want to make an argument for Bogdan Bogdanovic, I would definitely listen to that. I might even agree with you, to be honest. But Z-Bo has come in as a vet. Second highest paid after George Hill. Now he's the highest paid on the team, I believe. And he's played up to that price tag, I guess, as far as, you know, this team's concerned. And as far as, you know, a guy like George Hill is concerned, who did not play up to his price tag at all, Zach Randolph has come in, he's played well, he's been a good locker room presence. People like being around him, people like working with him. He hasn't been disruptive at all. I remember he had his off-season problems. Some people were calling for him to get cut, which I thought was ridiculous for a number of reasons. One of them was his salary. They weren't just going to cut that salary and have it be dead on their books. But he's come in. He's played well. He's averaging 14.6 a game, 7 boards, 2 assists. You know, those are solid numbers. He's not a game changer for a team like the Kings. But he's come in and done his job. There are some things I don't love about how he's used, I guess you could say. I don't like that they use two bigs as much as they do when it's Z-Bo and Cauley-Stein or Z-Bo and Costa. And, you know, he's playing the four. I would much rather see him get some time at the five like he did with Memphis last year. And kind of thrived in that role as a backup five. Especially with the way the NBA is going today. I know Z-Bo's been able to hit a couple threes this year, but it's still not, he still doesn't space the floor like you would want in today's NBA. But again, he's played well. He's done well for this team. He's been, not only has he performed on the court, he's been the veteran presence that you want off the court. So for the most part, he's done just fine. He's done just fine. And, With his price tag next year, I don't see him going anywhere. Because he could help some contenders and some good teams, but I don't think any of them are going to want to pay $12 million for his services next year. So I would imagine unless a buyout comes this summer that he's going to stick around. And you know, as a Kings fan, I'm fine with that. One of the only, and it's not even a problem, but just my preference when they, you know, they beat the Mavs last week and Zebo was the leading scorer and had a great game and everything. I don't know who that helps really. In the long scheme of things, because it's a good win, it's a good game for Zach Randolph, but is that helping this team moving forward? I'm not really sure. So I also wouldn't be surprised to see in the last 25 games if, you know, that back soreness might flare up for him and maybe a couple other vets, you know, as we see throughout the NBA. Like I said yesterday, there's seven teams vying for that number one pick probability, and Kings are one of them. But I've also mentioned that I don't believe that outright tanking is the right move for the Kings, because it's different for them. They have, you know, what, seven young guys that need to get time and need to develop, and they're probably some of their best players. So you're going to probably win some games in there with these young guys. You know, a team like the Mavs or Memphis, who doesn't really have many young guys, they can just sit there, their vets, and probably tank that way. Where with the Kings, it's not going to be as easy, deliberate, however you want to put it. Moving on. So that's our man Zebo. Solid year out of the big guy. Let's go to a fan favorite, and I mean, I can't lie, one of my favorites too, Garrett Temple. It's hard to not like the guy, like the way he plays. His defensive presence is for real. I know the defense has been a problem for this entire team, but he's one of the only plus defenders on this team. He doesn't fill it up, you know, 8 points a game, but he is, how do you put this? He's a smart player. He's a team player. He's the kind of guy you want around. And I know that's kind of going to be a theme today with the vets, is a lot of these guys are good locker room guys. I mean, that's kind of what you need with such a young team. And Garrett Temple is precisely that. He's a great locker room guy, a solid player. Could probably be a contributor on a better team, but he's with the Kings and he's working hard, mentoring, I guess. And like I said, that's going to be a theme because that's kind of what you do when you're a vet with this many young players. So he's played well. I have nothing negative to say about Garrett Temple. He's probably going to be on the squad for the next year. I don't see why he wouldn't, especially with his influence, not only on the court but off of the court. And when you have a team that's so poor defensively, a guy like Garrett Temple is good to have around that can help set up the defense, help carry the defense, however you want to put it. So he's a solid guy, solid player. There's only so much you can say because he's kind of a glue guy, I guess you could say. Similar to Jakar Sampson, who we'll actually get to tomorrow, but just a glue guy is the best way I can put it. Not great at anything, but good at everything. I know that's a cliche, but it's just the truth. It's just the truth when it comes to GT. But he's a leader on this team and going to continue to be. And he's had a solid year. So what more can you ask for? Up next, my man. If you've been listening to Locked On Kings or heard me on KHTK anytime, Kosta Koufos is my guy. That's my dude. And that's who's coming up next. Kosta, another solid center. That's the trend you're going to see with a lot of these vets. They're all solid. None are spectacular. They could all probably contribute on contending teams, on good teams. But with the Kings, they're more used for, being a mentor, being a good example, etc. And that's Costa. That's our man Costa Kufis. My man Costa Kufis. He's averaging 6 points, six boards. Solid player. He's another guy that does almost everything well, nothing great. He's kind of the grunt of a center that you need. As we've mentioned, Willie Cauley-Stein is the kind of current NBA center, run the floor, block shots, defend, finish lobs, all that good stuff. Where Costa does all the other stuff, set screens, box out, finish below the rim. Costa's my man. I think he does a great job for the Kings. And like I said, he's similar to Garrett Temple. He could definitely be a role player, a contributor on a good team. And he's doing that with the Kings also. He's solid. And that's also part of the thing you're going to see with a lot of these vets is they're just solid players. None of them are great. None of them are game changers. But you feel good when they're on the court. There's no question of what they're going to do. You're not worried about them, you know, having a brain fart out there and just standing there, or lack of effort from them, like we've seen with former Kings players. Costa Kufis just goes out there, handles his business, and that's about it. I love the fact that he sounds like that he was born and raised in Brooklyn. It cracks me up. But he's played well. He's another guy that I'm sure throughout these last 25 games we might see a little less of, which is understandable. I'm fine with it. I wouldn't, I don't know, I'm not begging for more minutes for Costa, but I wouldn't be surprised throughout these last 25 games if a lot of these vets see less time. For a number of reasons, for the benefit of playing young players and for the benefit of, you know, maybe the draft pick. And I know some Kings fans hate to hear that. I know some Kings fans love to hear it. But, I would imagine we're probably going to see less of him, less of Garrett Temple, and less of Zach Randolph, which I'm on the side of being okay with at this point. But Costa, another solid player. He's one. Honestly, he's a guy that I'm surprised hasn't been traded. Maybe the market just has not been there. I feel like it should be there for what he can do for teams that don't have solid centers. But maybe it hasn't been, and he's doing just fine with the Kings. I'd imagine also he's got a player option next year for about $8 million. I don't see why he wouldn't pick that up and why he wouldn't be with the Kings next year. And last but not least, another vet, a young vet, Scal Labissiere, Lab, Scal Lab. Let's just call him Scal. That works for me. An up-and-down year after a solid finish to his rookie season last year. I know a lot of fans were really high on him. I was one of those people. I thought he would be one of the cornerstones of this team moving forward. And he still can be. He's missed some time, had his ups and downs. He's still a very young player. I think he's still a young person. So he's got plenty of room to grow, both literally and figuratively. He's still very slender. And maybe that's just who he is and what he'll be. And that's fine. You can work with that. But if he's able to tack on some mass, as our friend Mac in Philly might say, if he's able to tack on some mass, he'll be able to reach a higher potential. But if he stays a skinny, you know, power forward, that's fine too. Averaging just under 8 points. He has played 42 games this year, so he's missed some time. 18 starts. His PER is right at 15, which is literally average. That's exactly the average point. So it hasn't been a banner year for him. I'm excited for him to come back this year, and I want to see him get some time. There's some lineups that I'd really like to see with this Kings team in the last 25 games, some small ball lineups where Scal might get some time at the five. Jakar might get some time at the five. And I don't know if we will see him, because I don't know if Dave Yeager feels the same way. But that's part of where I'm at, because I'd be really intrigued to see a lineup of, say, Buddy, Fox, Bogey, Justin Jackson, and Scal, or Jakar, a five-out kind of lineup where everyone has the ability to shoot from distance in that lineup. Again, I don't know if we will ever see it, but I sure hope so. He's a guy who finished very strong last year. He had that 32-point game. I think it was 32, and people were losing their minds. I was one of them. I remember I couldn't believe it. You get this, how did this guy fall to 28? Kind of leveled off this year. We'll see what happens moving forward. Hopefully he can find, once he comes back, hopefully he can find some of that rookie year potential that we saw. But again, he's another guy that is a part of the plan moving forward. This young core, he's definitely a major part of it. That's another thing that I mentioned about Zach Randolph earlier. I know it's switching back and forth here, but with the injury, it makes sense. But he's taken some time from Scal, which I don't especially love. But it is what it is. Cliche drop right there. There's nothing you can do about it now. But I would love to see Scal get some more minutes, see him get some run, and like I said, see him get some run at the five. See if he can handle that. But we will see. We have 25 games to figure it all out, and game one of the last 25 is tomorrow against the Oklahoma City Thunder. We will review that game and go over the last four or five players on this roster. I might throw Jack Cooley in there too, just because he's my man, Summer League legend. You have been listening to Locked On Kings. I am Charles T. Hamilton. Come on back tomorrow when we got the last group of the roster review and a little OKC Sacramento Kings preview. Thank you for joining me. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.